In sports, good offense starts with good defense. The professionals at Lakeside Roofing believe in this same motto for your roof. Our full-time service department provides the defense to ensure you get the most out of your roof system. A regular schedule of roof assessment and maintenance is the defensive strategy to extend the life of your roof. Call the winning team at Lakeside Roofing today at 618-344-2800 or 314-241-5253 or visit us on the web at lakesideroofing.com. Choose experience. Choose Lakeside.
St. Louis Blues.
Ah, done.
Have you heard the news about our St. Louis Blues?
I like this a lot. It's a toe tapper.
Now there's no more blues for our St. Louis.
Hope.
The Blues are on the ice tonight again.
Is this Treader?
Rough and tough and got the stuff to win.
Nice.
They'll always get one more.
He's always doing a lot of snapping today, Doug. You know what
I mean?
They are quite a hockey team, my friend.
Doug, is this ragtime?
Can we listen to the tune?
Never give a single goal away. The Brewday, they are champions every day. Because when it's said and done, they'll have them on the run. These old St. Louis Blues are here to stay. St. Louis Blues. St. Louis Blues. Have you heard the news about our St. Louis Blues? They've only just begun, they're on their way to number one. Now there's no more blues for our St. Louis Blues. The Blues are gone.
When was this recorded, Plow Penguin?
I think right after they decided not to move to Saskatoon, they said they're here to stay.
To hear the
I'm not quite for sure the date. There was a loyal listener on the fan page on Twitter.
Give us just one more. They never give a single goal away. No way. They prove it.
Well,
they are champions every day.
It's Ryan Kelly Morning After. This is CBS Sports 105.7 HD2 FM, 920 AM, InsideSTL.com, live from the Gateway Buick GMC Studios. It's all Blues all the time today, following the thrilling Game 7 victory over the Chicago Blackhawks. Kelly Chase has been with us throughout the Stanley Cup playoffs. He will continue to be with us for at least another couple weeks. Doug, I have the parade down Market scheduled for June 9th, but you got a wedding in Tulsa, so you won't be able to.
No, it's not in Tulsa. It's in Georgia.
No.
I can't miss it.
So you got to fly through Tulsa.
Kids are in it.
Chase is presented by GFI Digital, and he is with us right now on the appliance discounter phone lines. Chaser, good morning.
Morning, boys. How are you?
Tell me about what it was like to be ice-side for that one, sir.
Well, it was, I think, just like everybody, you're holding your breath. And when that puck went off both posts in front of me, I was like, are you kidding me? Here we go again. Obviously, you know, the Blues, they dug down. And I got to give them a lot of credit. There's the Hawks didn't go away by any means. The Blues had to push them out, and they did. And what a game and what a series. I got some general comments from some of their guys last night, and they're a beat-up group after playing us.
I would imagine so. I saw John Kelly on the post-game show say, of all of the St. Louis Blues playoff series he has seen, so he's not just talking about ones he has called, that's the best. And I saw Luke Horak tweet out that 91.9% of the game time in that series featured the teams either tied or separated by one goal. That's all seven games played that tight and that well. So it's a classic. How do you think that series ranks in Blues playoff lore?
Well, it has to be one of the best that I've been a part of, I guess, or seen. For me, it was tremendous. It was, like I said, I told you guys yesterday, they really need to get that smell off their hands, and they really, and they did. And now they can move on. It's a hurdle that they needed to get over. It's the biggest one they needed to get over, but they got over it, and now they need to just concentrate on just what the playoffs are about. It's not about the Hawks anymore. It's not about getting out of the first round. It's just about concentrating on winning games, and I think that's the greatest part about what they accomplished last night.
Did they do anything differently this year that they haven't done in recent years when they got knocked out?
Yeah, they won four games.
Well, beyond that, looking for a little deeper analysis.
Listen, what they have is depth, Doug. Honestly, they had the ability to run out three and four lines that were effective, that were healthy, relatively healthy. Last night, the Hawks got on the plane. I guess Brent Seabrook was barely able to get on the plane and could hardly move. And I mean, the hit from Brower shows a lot about his character. Here he plays with these guys, he wins a couple of these guys, and he finishes the guy off like he did into the boards in that hit. And really, it made an impact. And Seabrook was one of the guys that was on the ice that, when the goal was scored, the game winner, the Brower got. And coincidentally, great story. Last night before the game, Kirk Muller came in and gave each one of the assistant coaches a card to write down who was going to score the game winner. So the four coaches wrote down and put it in an envelope, and they all, you know, had their little bet on who was going to score the game winner. And after the game, he came in and says, let's see who got the game winner. And he was grinning away, and Brad Shaw had hit Marty Brodeur, kind of like, hey, I got the game winner. And they pulled open the card, and all right, Brad Shaw. Yep. Troy Brower. Wow, that's great. He thought he won it. Kirk Muller, Troy Brower. Jimmy Corsi, Troy Brower. Ray Bennett, Troy Brower. All four coaches picked Troy Brower to score the winner prior to the game starting. And Troy Brower scored the game winner. None of them knew what each other picked.
That's how about that? Eerie. Well, how about that? They knew he would rise to the occasion. And I saw, I think it was Cusimano tweet out, Chaser, that your co-host on the podcast, Darren Pang, on the day of that trade, said Troy Brower is going to help the Blues win a playoff series. And sure enough, he put the hit on Seabrook, and he had the game winner when it was all said and done to put the Blues over the hump against the Blackhawks. That's when they got him.
Well, listen, he's there to make an impact, to keep the guys from getting too high and from getting too low. And then, you know what, it wasn't like he was packing up points offensively, and you were hearing a lot of the, you know, kind of, I guess, some negative comments about, hey, we need more out of this guy, more out of that guy. But what he did was he played a consistent game, and I really thought that between him and Alex Steen, who had the challenge of keeping Taves at bay last night, I thought that both those guys were fantastic. Robbie Fabry, for a young guy, what a job he did last night. They all had contributed in some way last night, which I think is great.
Chaser, you tweeted before the third period last night, crazy to think of financial implications of 20 minutes of hockey there with the Blues obviously winning. And not to put you on the spot, I'm just wondering, do you know, though, when the Blues get at least two more home games now, what does that mean for ownership? Is that $1 million-plus dollars, you know, each game when you have 20,000 fans in there paying, you know, X per average ticket?
That's exactly what it is, and just the whole, listen, you know, I'm not out and about the city here until we're off this call, but I can tell that there's energy from last night. I can tell the energy in the city that everybody's got a different mood about them, and, you know, the one thing I got to say, I really, really do, I'm grateful for the fans that they won, and I do appreciate the support. I was a little disappointed that there was a lot of the fans that said, you know what, screw it, it's the same old Blues and sold their tickets last night. There was a lot of red there last night. I don't know if you guys were there and saw it, but it was kind of disappointing that there was the naysayers that were the, hey, you know what, I'm just glad for the guys, they got the monkey off their back, but there was a lot of red there that didn't believe that these guys could get the job done.
I think of the first 1,000 or so fans I saw come in, I was down there doing stuff for TV. Of the first 1,000 fans that came in.
Oh, cutting me off again today, boys. I can't hear a thing.
Oh, how about now? Hello, London. Mayday, mayday. Hello, London.
Hello.
Come in, London. Mayday, mayday, mayday. Come in, London. Hello, London. Mayday. Come in, London. Can you hear me now? Can you hear me now? Nope. I can't hear him, Tim.
All right. Well, we will attempt to call him back. Uh-huh. And get Trace back on the line. He was saying last night that while he was thrilled for a lot of fans, because he knows how brutal this has been for Blues fans, to see all the red in the building was disappointing.
Yeah, and I was saying maybe the first 1,000 fans that came in early, I bet you 600-700 of them were Blackhawk fans.
Wow, 60%?
Yeah, yeah.
I was last night, I'm at the game up in the press box, and I was taking notes at one point. And I looked down for a split second, and a goal scored. And when I heard the reaction, I look up, I think it's going to be the Blues, and it was the Hawks scoring. Because there were so many fans going crazy when they scored.
There had to be several thousand, I would think. They had a little over 19,000 there. What do you think, 5,000 Hawk fans?
And they were loud.
No.
Kelly Chase brought to you by GFI Digital. They have you covered from office IT solutions to copiers, equipment, and supplies. Let the experts at GFI make technology simple for your business. It's GFIDigital.com. We've been doing business with GFI Digital for years. We recommend them to our audience. Kelly Chase will be back with us here in a matter of moments. Doug McClain with us at 8:30. Then Brian Lawton with us at 9 o'clock. Plus your calls, your texts, your emails. The morning after at InsideSTL.com. It's a $5 gift certificate to Dirty Dogs as the prize for our email of the day. And we will welcome you to participate and express your enjoyment of the fun and games with your emails at 9:45. Chaser, apologize about that. You were just talking about the number of Hawks fans in the building. And, Doug, you were saying that of the first 1,000, you thought about 50% to 60%?
No, yeah, more than that. I mean, they got there early, too.
Right. Yeah, I mean, when they were clamored around the glass, and it was surprising. I said, well, the Blues fans, I hope, are just waiting outside to come in, and this isn't going to continue. But you're absolutely right.
I guess it's one thing to cash in your ticket and get $300 or $400 for it. But boy, if you're a diehard fan and you've waited for so long and it's a game seven, it's hard to duplicate game sevens. These don't come around very often.
Well, that series won't, Doug. You're 100% right. That's as good a hockey as you're going to see. And to be down there and be a part of it, I think the emotion in the building, you sold your ticket to a red jersey, then shame on you because you missed something that you may never see again in your lifetime. As far as the, you know, you got the people from Hockey Night in Canada talking about they have never seen a series like this where it was that close. The margin was so, especially in the first round. I mean, because every game was like this. So that was just tremendous hockey. And like you said, it is a little unfortunate.
Yeah, and to think just how close it all comes down to. And they hit two goalposts with 4 minutes left in the game, and you wonder how that affects careers, front office careers, and guys who are going to be free agents at all. You know, you have huge implications from a fraction of an inch.
Well, that's exactly right. That's what I meant about the dollar figures. I mean, there's guys that are still not, haven't been heroes yet in a series that will end up inevitably being a hero in another one. And dragging, the longer this drags out, the Troy Browers, the guys like David Backes, the guys that are free agents, Scotty Upshaw, earning another opportunity to get another contract. You know, all of those things, they play into it. I mean, it doesn't matter how you look at it. That's just a fact. That's exactly the way it works. So I think, you know, for St. Louis, for the city, it's great. It's a great win. It's the first step to the to where they want to be. But as I said, it's a huge hurdle because they had to get the Chicago monkey off their back, much like San Jose did with L.A., and they did. And now you just concentrate. It's not about, hey, we can't get out of the first round. Now it's about winning the cup and going after what you've worked for. I said it yesterday. There's not a guy that was out on the ice last night that didn't dream of that. That play or that, you know, show has already been rehearsed so many times for kids that grew up playing hockey. That's what made it special.
Kelly Chase, presented by GFI Digital, with us here on the Ryan Kelly Morning After. Have you heard when game one, game two will be, Chaser?
Yeah, I believe it's going to be, and I'm not making a public announcement, but I believe, is what they've told us, is it's going to be Friday, Sunday in Dallas, and then it'll be Tuesday back here because I believe our building's booked Monday. So
for professional wrestling, Doug.
Wrestling.
And with Dallas, and with Dallas playing in the game seven, or are playing later, pardon me, in Anaheim, having to play game seven now. They're not going to start that early anyway. So,
well, it seems like that's a favorable schedule, though, for the Blues. It give them a day to celebrate this and maybe another day to relax a little bit and then get back to it rather than, you know, one day off and then hop right into another series.
Well, you know, that's the way it's going to work, unfortunately, for some guys and or some teams. But yet, hey, listen, they because of the schedule and the kind of a goofy schedule in the first round, they were able to have that luxury, and they're going to take it wisely. They came out of that fairly unscathed when it comes to the injuries, so that's important as well. So now get as healthy as you can and as big as you can, and then, you know, get on about believing you're going to win the next round.
Yeah, that's something they were saying on the NBC Sports Network postgame show, that considering how much of a grind that seven-game series was, it's the Blues who go into the second round pretty healthy relative to the Dallas Stars. It's the complete opposite of what logic would dictate after you watch those series, but that's the way things set up for the Blues. I want to continue to enjoy this Blues-Blackhawks moment, but since we have you on, What do you think of the next round matchup with Dallas, Chaser?
Well, it's funny. I think that it's there's so many similarities. It's eerie when you look at how they play the game. When you look at their scoring potential. When you look at they like to play that freewheeling style. I just think there's so many things that are the same about the Dallas Stars and the Chicago Blackhawks. Now, they've got experience because they got Oduya and they got Patrick Sharp, who were guys that went down this path already with the Chicago Blackhawks. So there's a lot of things that are the same. But I'm not sure if it's – I'm not sure that it'll give you the same kind of an impact with the depth. And depth in scoring as well. So the Blues, I think, are have an edge in that, and that's where they can expose them. And if Brian Elliott is, which I would assume he would be the starting goaltender, if he's the guy and continue to stay as sharp as he is, that gives them an edge as well. They've got two goaltenders capable of outdueling the Stars.
Are you? I'm sure you are. Are you as impressed with Colton Parayko as much as I am? Hello, London. Can you hear us? Hello, London. Mayday, mayday. I see the white cliffs of Dover. Hello, London. No?
Are you there?
Yeah, we're here. Can you hear us? Yes, we're here. Can you hear us?
I got you.
Oh, okay. Whew, I started talking about Colton Parayko and how impressive he is for a 22-year-old kid. They put him out there for the most crucial times of the game.
For me, there were certain times that he established himself and set himself apart. A couple of the times were just going, getting up ice and joining the rush where I thought he was a difference maker. And then other times obviously the shot last night, he was able to get that shot off. And that's a different, that to me, that makes him, makes him such a better player. When he's able to get a shot off that resembles what the McInnes bring. I think that's a difference maker. And so there's so many times in this series where you can run him out there and feel comfortable. You're getting the defensive zone player and also a guy that might score the difference maker in a goal. And I think that's a sense of comfort the coaches now have with the Yale kid.
Kelly Chase, presented by GFI Digital. Online at GFIDigital.com. Chaser with us throughout the Stanley Cup playoffs. A classic last night at the Sky Trade Center as the Blues beat the Blackhawks to advance to the second round. Kelly Chase with us throughout the Stanley Cup playoffs, presented by GFI Digital. Chaser, great stuff, brother. We appreciate it, man. Thanks so much.
And let me ask you, how many of you were there? I know Doug was there. Were you there last night, Tim?
I was not there. Charlie, you were there, right?
Yeah.
What was the emotion like just around your, like for you during the day? Because everybody seems to have a different story about whether they were thinking about it, not thinking about it, nervous energy, not nervous energy. To me, it's like everybody had a different story.
Well, I can tell you that when I was just around the area, even talking to my parents, whatever the case, everybody was talking about it, but the attitude wasn't necessarily with my parents, but some of the people I would see, like at the gym, texting with people, that it was impending doom. Like it felt like you knew what was coming, and it was based on the past. And then fortunately, a minute in, that went away, and that's all it took is one goal, and all of a sudden it's like, all right, it's back. Saturday night's a distant memory. But around town, in my experience yesterday, people were excited, but they felt like, they were walking to the gallows. That's what my experience was like. I don't know what your guys was like.
It's the reason I ask that is that I feel exactly the same thing, but I also feel like, especially when the two-goal lead evaporated,
yeah,
you could hear everybody going, all right, I've seen this movie before. Here they are going to do it to us. They're going to break our hearts. And I had to say to my son last night, I think the two people I'm happiest for are for Bobby Plager, because he just felt such anxiety yesterday. And I know it's just one round of playoffs. And my son, my oldest son, Will, who literally cries when the Hawks win. He was so negative about it. I just said to him, hey, it's
It's terrible to be around negative people. You'll never get any energy out of it. Don't be like that. We're going to be okay. And he said, Dad, everyone's saying the same thing. This is awful. You know, like, they're letting us go again. And it was funny that you think about certain things that happened during the day, but no matter who I was around, I had to tell my wife, I don't even want to go out anymore. I can't take all of the people complaining about this is going on again instead of, hey, we might have a chance to do something real, really cool, and it turned out to be really cool.
Yeah, I tend to be the hopeless optimist with my teams, too. I think the Cardinals and the Blues are going to win every game, and I didn't feel that way so much with the Rams. But with the Cardinals and the Blues, I kind of got blinders and think they're going to win. For me, the hard part is sit in the press box and not be able to react, you know, not be able to jump up and cheer or something. It's really hard to suppress that in a big game when they score a goal to go ahead in Game 7 just to sit there and nod your head like, okay, who got that one? That's hard.
Well, I can tell you I'm not supposed to do it either, and I had the fist pumps going in the Zamboni entrance last night when that third goal went in. So I can assure you, the smile was ear to ear. I went on the ice. My kids, my family were all up in the alumni box, and I gave them the thumbs up, and I don't care who caught it on camera. I was just genuinely happy for the players. They got over that hurdle, and if, you know, and there's a few people you think of, as I said, that come to mind because they've been through quite some time here with the team. And both of those I thought about when I went out on the ice. So it's just good for the city. It feels like a different vibe.
It is incredible. And it brings a lot of people who were understandably, I don't fault people for it, who were skeptical to the table now for the second round. And this game won Friday in Dallas, and I would imagine the Scott Trade Center will be going bat crap next Tuesday when the series returns to St. Louis. Kelly Chase will be with us throughout Stanley Cup playoff coverage here on CBS Sports 105.7 HD2 and 9:20 a.m. presented by GFI Digital. Chaser, we appreciate the time, brother. Thanks so much.
Hey, all right, boys. Have a good day.
There he is, Kelly Chase, with us here on the Ryan Kelly Morning After. Doug McLean, Sportsnet an analyst, and Brian Lawton of the NHL Network. He's an analyst with them as well. They will be with us coming up on the Appliances Counter phone lines in a matter of moments. Ryan Kelly is our title sponsor, Doug. Is Ryan Kelly calling in? Is Ryan Kelly calling out? Yes.
Kelly, yep. Calling.
Thank you. Ryan Kelly was on the fan page yesterday. Doug, where were you?
What did he have to say?
He's talking it over.
About what?
Somebody goes, is everybody all right with the fact that Ryan Kelly sponsors the text line on 101?
Is everybody all right?
And what if we're not all right with
it? Yeah. You know, I don't know. You know, I didn't know about these non-competes with Facebook fan pages, but I found out about one last week.
Sure.
And now apparently advertisers can only advertise on one station.
Does Ryan know that?
Who knew?
I didn't know that.
I didn't know. Who knew? So I guess we have to hold him accountable.
I would. So you want me not to do this little live spot as a
punish
form of punishment?
Punish him.
Well, he needs to get his name out there, because the more people who know about him and his services and the fine people that work for him, the more people save money. Not just a couple hundred, Charlie, but sometimes thousands of dollars, tens of thousands over the life of a loan. If you've got a bad mortgage now and you think, hey, I'd like to save some money, wonder how I might do that. Well, refinance your mortgage. Just refinance.
And you say, Charlie. Hey.
Rates continue to be very, very low. So if you don't have a loan rate in the threes, you need to call Ryan Kelly today. Whether you hear him on 101 or whether you hear him here, this is the guy to go to. Number one mortgage lender for most loans closed in the Midwest by the Scotsman's Guide. And he's number one because he just makes it so darn easy. He's got great service and he's got fantastic loan rates. He makes the whole thing so very simple. If you call him, you'll find out what I'm talking about. His number is 314-781-9700. 314-781-9700. And he's got a website that'll give you more information. That's the Home Loan Expert. .com.
He's a huge Blues fan, and he's actually with us right now. Hello, Ryan.
Doug, I heard you talking about me, so I jumped on right away. How about you, boys?
There you go, Doug. Oh, take that. What's up, Ryan?
Good.
What a game, man. What a game.
Sick. It was sick.
We're getting Blue City Deli delivered to the office today.
Gotta nice.
Keep going here after
Doug,
the
what's your
win.
Favorite sandwich at Blue City Deli?
The Muddy or something? The Mississippi Mud or they order and I eat it.
Yeah. Okay.
That's fair, isn't it?
I like the Vino. A lot of people like the Benton Park. Doug, is that what you
like? Doug was at the game. Doug was at the game last night.
He was.
Yes, I was.
He's covering it like the Dickens.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, he sure did.
Yeah.
All over the place. I watched this one from my house. You guys want to hear a quick funny story?
Sure.
So here I am. Get the kids the badge. You know, it's a big ordeal. I've got a four-year-old. Got almost a seven-year-old now. And feed him dinner. Game's going to start at 7:30. So I'm in a mad rush. Tracy's, my wife's like, well, you're really helping out. I'm feeding the kids, doing dishes, you know, keep moving. And baths, and reading books, saying prayers, putting them to bed. I get a late start. I have the game paused, and I start about 8:15, and I'm running behind. So I'm watching it. I'm loving the game. It's tied. It's the third period. And my wife's like, hey, come on up. Tuck me into bed. I'm like, oh, I can't say no to that. So I paused it with like 7 minutes left. And, of course, this tucking her into bed takes a little bit longer than 7 minutes. So I come out 25, 30 minutes later to watch the end of the game, and I grab my phone, I hit the button, and there's the spoiler alert. Fox 2 News, Blues win, closes that Blues win. Well, I still stop and watched it. It was one heck of a game. And, a little tired at the office. I'm going to leave it there. I'm right outside. I'm a home run expert. Now you know a little bit about my personal life, I guess. And this call, 314-781-9700, are always at TheHomeLoanExpert.com. My company is The Home Loan Expert, LLC. Thanks for letting me jump on with you, boys. We'll talk to you real soon.
Thank you, Ryan. There he is, Ryan Kelly, with us here. He is our title sponsor, Doug. Without him, you know what happens?
What?
We fail to exist, and we wouldn't be able to do this show. Year 12.
That's true. Yeah. We just shut her down.
Can you imagine?
There are folks that would appreciate that.
What?
Clear up some airspace for some others. There are a lot of folks that would like that.
101.
Yeah.
Well, I don't know that they care much one way or the other.
I think the show's pretty good, though.
What about that?
This one?
Yeah.
How am I supposed to explain that story to my kids? Thanks. That's from the Barnhart Brawler. Doug, you've got it.
Difficult to explain that one. Just people need to be tucked in, that's all.
For sure.
You take care of your family that way.
Absolutely.
Why was someone from the fan page listening to 101? Thanks, Steve Wildwood.
Great point.
Mm. Can you be expelled from the fan page for listening to another show?
It's up to Bestel.
Bobby Bestel. Okay. He's still in charge. He hasn't been pushed out.
Well, it's his. I don't think he has the non-compete with other fan pages.
I heard tell, I have some spies, even though I'm no longer on the fan page, but I heard tell that a lot of yesterday was spent just criticizing the looks of local female newscasters.
Is that right?
The fan page? Yeah. Really? I think they were complimenting two. That's what I saw.
That's not what I heard from my spies.
I don't look at me, Charlie. I wouldn't.
I got them all over the place, Doug. I got them at the News 4 as well.
Have you?
I know. Is that a violation of your non-compete?
I know what you say about Tim.
What do you say?
Behind closed doors. He says I'm hot, doesn't he?
No.
St. Louis Blues.
Smoke show.
St. Louis Blues. St. Louis Blues. Let's see, Doug, Kelly Chase with us. How about that story on the assistant coaches putting it in an envelope? Who would get the game-winning goal before the game? They open up the envelopes afterwards, and all four pick Troy Brower.
That's an awesome story.
That is a great story. Yeah. And Seabrook was so effed up that he could barely get on the plane last night. More behind the scenes from Kelly Chase. It is our pleasure to welcome to the Appliance Discounter phone lines as we continue our All Blues All the Time coverage here on the Ryan Kelly Morning After. Former NHL head coach and GM, current Sportsnet analyst Doug McClain with us on the Ryan Kelly Morning After. Doug, good morning.
How you doing, guys?
Very good. As you can imagine, people in St. Louis super fired up after that one. Classic game and one hell of a series, but a very important victory for this franchise. Your thoughts, sir?
Yeah, I mean, obviously for the franchise, it was time to win. And I thought, you know, going into the series, they had a legitimate chance to win. As a matter of fact, I picked them to win the series. And the reason I picked them was I thought that, you know, the Blackhawks have gone deep for a number of years, well into June. They've lost some depth to their team over the, you know, the cap issues. And I thought they might be right for the taking. And then as I watched them come back 3-2, 3-3, I'm thinking, maybe I'm wrong about this team. Maybe they're not right for the picking there. Then to watch them last night, I mean, if that wasn't as good a game as I've seen in the last number of years, I don't know what was. And multiple games in the series. So I loved the way they played. They didn't pay any attention to their coaches. They went out and played their asses off. They tried to score on every shift. It was end-to-end rushes. It was battles. It was, you know, as far away from systematic hockey as you could be, yet amazingly exciting. And the Blues, for me, have showed, like, some great traits. It would appear to me that their leadership group really took over the team. They had some major issues throughout the series they had to battle back from, the Crawford penalty where everybody was upset, and the veterans sort of grabbed a hold of the group and they battled through it. They've showed the resilience all year, to be quite honest, and some tough injury situations. So, hey, it looks good on them. It really does.
The fighting and the cheap shots, sometimes that's entertaining in the regular season, but there was almost none of that. There was hardly a penalty in some of these games. The refs kind of let them play. I thought that was good, too. There's just nothing not to like about this kind of hockey.
Well, you mentioned the hit on Seabrook. You know, it was a hard, physical, clean hit. You know, that's what you love to see. I mean, there could have been some penalties called on both teams. I mean, equal to each side. But to me, it was just the referees sort of taking a real positive step in and saying, hey, we got two great hockey teams here. We're going to let them fight it out amongst themselves. And I thought from a fan perspective, from a hockey person perspective, I absolutely loved it. I loved it.
And, Doug, when you see the Blues beat a great team like the Hawks, and now you're looking forward with Dallas next and then potentially beyond, do you see this as a team that should be one of the favorites to make a deep run here?
Well, you know, I don't know if we'll be on again this year. I may bail, but depending on what I say here. I'm picking Anaheim-Washington final. So I'm sitting there thinking, geez, the way the Blues played in this series, and some nights I've watched Anaheim play in the Nashville series, I'm not sure, you know, that the Blues won't be a contender. I love the way Dallas play, but I think the Blues will be tough on Dallas. They've got to be considered a contender now that they've got by this round. And it's the same as everybody in the West. If you get by the first round, you're a contender. San Jose get by L.A. San Jose's a contender. Anaheim get by Nashville, a good team. They're a contender. So you got three or four contenders all of a sudden in the West that are all pretty good teams. But the Blues, for me, if Elliott plays the way he's played, and if he stumbles, Allen comes in and plays the way he's capable of, they're a contender. No doubt about it.
But for Elliott to play that way after spending years considered kind of a 1A or backup kind of goalie, for him to go in there and play that way in a playoff series really has to be nice for him and give a lot of confidence to the whole franchise.
You know, I'm a guy that said it to Doug Armstrong every time I talked to him. Is your goaltending good enough? Is your goaltending good enough, Army? You know? And you know what? I question it. I've never questioned Elliott's battle. You've never questioned his character, the price he's paid to become an NHL goaltender. I know people that know him personally and tell me what an amazing kid he is. It was great to see it. And, he was good. Guys, if it's not for him in the first two or three games, this series could have been short. He was that good. I mean, territorially and scoring chance and puck possession-wise, Chicago were a better team in the first three games. And he was a difference for me. And as the series progressed, then both teams played head-to-head, even knock them down, drag them out hockey. So, yeah, he deserves a ton of credit. And, hey, give the Blues credit for sticking with them. You know, management made a sound decision. They believed in them.
Mm-hmm. Crawford was pretty good for Chicago, too. The Blues could have had twice the number of goals they had.
Like, seriously, last night, how good was he? I mean, this guy made 5-7 unbelievable saves. You know the Blues are going to come at you in that opening home ice advantage in the first period. And as the game progressed, he was absolutely spectacular. So what didn't the game have? I mean, it had great plays. It had great hits. It had end-to-end action. It had a ton of scoring. We sit and watch games in the wintertime where your scoring chances are 10-8, you know? You look at that game last night, how many scoring chances did each team have? I mean, you couldn't have a better hockey game. I'm sorry. If somebody tells me you could have a better hockey game, despite or regardless of what the outcome is, I don't know where you'd find.
Doug McClain of Sportsnet with us here on the Ryan Kelly Morning After. A classic last night at the Scott Trade Center sets the table for the second round, Blues and Stars. Doug, we know you have a short amount of time, so we really appreciate you fitting us into the schedule this morning. Great stuff, as always. Thank you so much, and we look forward to talking to you down the road again.
Right, congrats, and anytime, guys.
Thank you, Doug. Yeah,
thanks
very much. Doug McClain with us here on the Ryan Kelly Morning After. So that's the perspective from across North America. It isn't just in St. Louis. There is an appreciation for the caliber of hockey we witnessed over the last about week and a half. Every game.
Yeah.
Every game.
And clearly, if the Blues had not won that, they would have said, you know, we're not there yet. We got to make some more changes. You wonder what the Blackhawks are thinking, though. Is it, I guess our time maybe is over, we got to make changes, or you just stick with it, we'll come back and fight it again next year?
The Blackhawks are still a great team. The Blues are a great team. And I would have said that if the Blues lost. You know, it wasn't like last year. The Minnesota Wild weren't a great team last year. I think
tough
you can
matchup.
Make the case. Okay. Buzzsaw. But, I mean, the Blackhawks, if they won this series, there's a good chance they could run deep and maybe get to the final again. They're that good as well.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think so, too.
And the door really is open. I mean, it's open. Once you get past that team, you know, it's not like last year you get past the Wild. You're like, all right, we got past the Wild. That's the Chicago Blackhawks. The Kings were the odds-on favorite in Las Vegas, even though they were not even the top of their division. And they're gone. So the Blackhawks, the Kings are gone. And, you know, a number of people not only say that the Blues match up well with the Stars, but also this is the key thing, I think, because the matchups, you know, who knows. But the health, it's such a huge factor.
Mm-hmm.
And it's interesting, you know, both the NBC Sportsnet people and Chase said that the Blues are healthy. I was wondering about the health of some players, and I thought maybe we would hear if the Blues lost last night that so-and-so was dealing with this and so-and-so was dealing with that, whether it be Backes, whether it be Steen, whether it be Tarasenko with the reduced ice time,
mm-hmm.
If there's something going on there. Well,
they're not going to tell you now.
Yeah, exactly. Now they continue on, you won't hear about it.
But we thought all during the regular season, imagine how good this team would be if they just had everybody. Well, now they have everybody, and look how good they are. You know, it's no accident. They are really deep. They got a lot of players. They get scoring from a lot of different people.
And they seem to also have, from what we've seen in the last 4 or 5 years, this seems to be a team that's really well put together for the playoffs. I mean, they have everything. They have two good goaltenders. And they have, you know, playmakers and guys like Tarasenko and Schwartz. You have the sniper and Tarasenko. But then you have so many gritty players that just know how to play in the postseason and kind of can, as we've talked about so many times, you know, just play that dirty game and get those kind of scrappy goals that you need to get. Because every time in the postseason, you're not going to get the great two-on-one breakaways and Tarasenko doing the pretty goals. A lot of them are the dirty goals.
There weren't many breakaways at all, were they?
Right.
You remember one where just a cold turkey breakaway through the whole series? Maybe Steen had one when he stole the puck at the blue line.
Tarasenko had that really nice kind of snipe. I think it was in game one or game two where he just kind of flicked the wrist, had a little space.
Yeah.
Kind of a neat, fun tweet here. Nothing once makes me want to whisk Bryce Chandler away to the Twinks room and powerbottom like the Dickens, like a Blues win. Doug, that's from Deke Dotum to...
I beg your pardon? It's from who?
Bryce Chandler Hill, who was the alleged gentleman lover of Jessica Simpson's dad. So that's fun.
Well, I don't know how much fun that is, or that it even fits into the conversation we're having now, or that
Blues
Deke Dotum is even allowed.
He's allowed on Twitter.
And think about this. I'm pretty sure that Jessica Simpson and her family were from Texas, maybe even Dallas.
Yep.
Who do the Blues play next,
yep,
Doug?
Exactly.
Dallas.
So it fits in just fine, thank you.
I'm starting to see it now. All right.
Yeah, I just read this article about playoff revenue. Now, it's from 2014. It's also a conservative estimate, but they're talking about gross revenue from just tickets, concessions, meaning souvenirs and food and all that.
For the
and,
Blues or for anything?
Well, they were estimating the Dallas Stars with an arena of 18,500 people. So the Blues last night, they had almost 20,000. And also, they were saying average ticket price, they said $56. I don't know if that's low.
Oh, yeah, that's way low.
Okay, but even if that is low, and then they said if you're spending $35 a person on on concessions and souvenirs and all that.
Yeah.
It was between 1.65 and about 1.8 million per game in gross revenue. And that's probably low. And that's not even taking into account I don't even know how the NHL works with TV packages as far as, you know, as you advance.
Right. Or splitting the gate with the other team, what the percentages are, or if the Blues necessarily get all the concessions or some of them, or I don't know. I know their setup isn't very good over there, and they need all the games they can possibly get.
This article reads that the home team gets the revenue for each game.
Do they?
And it's from 2014. But, you know, if it's 1.8 or 2 million, you know, gross revenue per game, for hockey in a salary cap league, that's a huge deal.
Yeah, sure it is.
Guys, check. It gets the Blues concession money. Thanks. It's from the 314.
Probably does. Or Kroenke probably gets it.
Stanley?
Probably.
The steamer?
It all goes right to Kroenke. Anything left over, he gets it.
Doug, who was the first man you passionately kissed once the Blues clinched the series? Thanks, Hunchback of Mont Castle.
I'm going to suspend him. Hunchback of Mont Castle, you have been suspended for your question. You've been suspended a period of 2 days' time. Your name is going into the Bergazzi suspension log. You'll and listen to this. That was me throwing the pencil down
in
disgust.
I was able to see it. Mm-hmm. Haven't had anybody stop by the studios yet. The Shrubwalker hasn't posted something on the glass. I haven't seen Cucky the Dwarf out there protesting in his half shirt.
Police told him to move along. They thought he was selling something other than just good cheer.
His ass, bro.
Yeah.
Guys, Bud Light is the official beer of this radio program. Oh, I was ponied up and had a few Bud Lights on Saturday at Billy G's. Oh,
for Game 6.
Well, that's so cool that you were so ponied. All right, go ahead.
I don't do it, though, because it's the official beer of this presentation.
Boy.
I do it because it's what I want. And what I want is what I get.
Mm, yeah.
I want an Oompa Loompa, and I want an Oompa Loompa now, Daddy. Mm.
That's what I say to my dad.
Is that Veruca's song?
I want a radio station. I want a radio station now, Daddy.
He comes through, doesn't he?
I want a parking lot, and I want a parking lot now, Daddy.
And he's out there paving it.
Yep.
How it works now.
Bud Light, the official beer of the Ryan Kelly Morning After. They're about bringing people together, just like Troy Brower did last night in the third period.
Bring it,
Kay.
Bring
Use it. That as a promo for Stanley Cup playoff coverage.
I'll tell you what, Doug.
I'm exhausted from that commercial read right there. Can I just take that in for a second?
Can I ask you this, too?
What?
Did you guys have a problem? Now, I'm a night owl anyway, and I guess we're used to these 8:42 start times. But I had trouble getting to bed last night, and it was
so did I.
Excitement.
I wanted to watch the post game coverage, and I agree with you. I'm like, oh crap, it's 12:15. Here we go. But fortunately, get a few nights off, settle in. Not a game until Friday, and hopefully these games, because there at least will be one Pacific Time Zone team in the Shacks. Hopefully these games won't be the H Harty.
I didn't have any trouble at all sleeping, fellas.
He's an Olympic caliber.
I go right home. I put on my jammies. I crawl into bed. I'm out almost immediately.
Getting your REM sleep for some hot takes in the morning.
Well, I don't know how much REM I got, but
God, I was having another good sex dream, and I can't remember it, but I know I was.
Uh-huh.
It's usually lesbianism.
Mm-hmm. And you're involved somehow?
Was it about
the... No, I'm behind the shrubs like Fernando Rodney at Coors Field. That's my move.
Was it about the busty woman behind the Blackhawks bench that everybody was talking about
on Twitter? What is she, Villa 2002, you think? Maybe MICDS?
That was an interesting, a tank top shirt. As we know, Doug, hockey arena, you got the ice.
It's
a
cold
chilly.
In there. It is very
and
cold
And she was
in there.
Rocking just a tank top. I think it was it pink? Was it orange?
Yeah.
Nurse?
I don't know.
You can check out the picture. Barstool Sports was all over it last night.
It's like you never see any women in this country. So
okay,
if there's one actually at a game, boy, we better just...
Oh, if you haven't, I would recommend freeones.com. Free ones.
Really?
But, Doug, for a hockey game where on the glass you have a woman who's wearing a tank top, low cut, and it was right behind Joel Quenneville. So I believe the headline was the Blackhawks bench is much perkier than you would think for being down 2-0.
You think it's tempting for a coach or player to turn around and... Look.
Players see all that.
They couldn't possibly, I know they do, but they couldn't possibly get caught by the cameras doing it.
I'm sure they have before. I bet you every single player on the Blackhawks was joking about that last night.
Probably were. But, I mean, Quenneville couldn't turn around and look.
I'm sure he saw it, though.
Yeah.
How do you think he explained
that to his kids? Well, his kids are probably, in their 20s now. They probably have a half a clue what's going on. You think he has to sit him down and explain, yes, I'm sorry, there was a girl sitting behind me, and she was hot.
Hot?
Mm-hmm. Guys, if you couldn't sleep, you should have watched the post-game show. Warman would have had you asleep within 2 minutes. Thanks.
Okay.
That's 2 minutes for tribbing.
Mm.
That is not a penalty.
That's mean.
That's not a penalty.
That was mean-spirited.
Warman's a good dude.
Yes, he is. And he does a fine job.
Haters. Haters going to hate, Doug.
I don't know.
When's that Pat Parris' last show? He does a great job.
Is it this week?
I don't have a schedule in front of me. Yeah. I don't know.
Going to, what, Tucson?
Yes, that much I know. He's going to Tucson to be a news anchor, I believe.
We ought to be news anchors.
Well, that'd last about a day.
I just don't think I'm not serious enough to be
a news
anchor.
I'm not either. I don't want to do that. Yeah.
Like, I think, I wasn't here when Mike Bush was a sports anchor, but I think he does
Hi,
a really
fellas,
good job.
How are you?
Oh, hello, Ellen.
You just kind of start talking.
Tim put her on.
He's doing that.
Yeah, but I oftentimes put callers on, and they wait until we're done talking.
I'm saying is, I think.
Oh,
that,
I'm sorry. I was busy eating yogurt and not.
Go ahead, Ellen.
We were
right in the middle of a sentence.
You kind of jaywalked on our conversation.
Oh, I'm sorry. It was really interesting.
The conversation wasn't that.
Yeah, you know, where were you?
Charlie was talking about Mike Bush, the sports anchor in the 90s, and I actually legitimately was interested in hearing where you were going.
No.
Ellen, just 1 second.
No.
Charlie, if I could.
Tell us about your
Yeah,
yogurt.
Please.
Just no common courtesy anymore in this world.
I have great respect for you, Chuck. I'd love to hear what you want to say about Mike Bush.
That ship has passed.
We don't even care about Bushy anymore.
All I'm saying was...
Damn it, why?
I think he really pulls off being that news anchor. He has a lot of credibility as a news anchor, where I think a lot of times sports guys that switch over sometimes...
Steve Savard's got the credibility.
Right. But, I mean, sometimes the sports guy, you're like the goofy sports guy, and it's hard to translate into being kind of the hardcore news guy when you have serious stories.
Yeah.
That's all I was saying.
Okay.
Go ahead.
Go ahead, Ellen.
I agree, Chuck.
All right. But you had something on your mind when you called us. What was it?
Well, first of all, I almost ran by the new studio this morning, but A, I didn't have a placard, nor B, was I wearing a half shirt,
Don't give us numbers. Don't give us our letters like you're giving some sort of outline.
I kind
of
like
it. We don't need A, this, B, this, C, subset 1, 2. We don't need that.
I didn't say subset. I just speak in an orderly fashion, Doug, which
okay.
I'm sorry if that offends you.
Well, I just found it a little
your
wordy.
Your chaotic thoughts that just stream out of your mouth with no point to it whatsoever.
All right, sorry, Ellen.
Oh, wow, thank you, Doug. That's very kind of you. I just, before I get back to cooking and cleaning, I just wanted to say that I thought there were three big points in the game last night. One, when they survived the Hawks coming out in the second period just on fire. And I really thought, oh, God, here we go again. Second period, we're about to die. And we came through on the other side, which was just incredible. And I thought, you know, not that I'm some expert, but I thought, hey, I think we might win this thing. And I am so happy for Tom Stillman. I mean, I know you guys already talked about it, but I just am so happy for him and this local ownership group and these guys, like Doug said. I mean, they're not in it for the money. I mean, it'd be nice to do a little bit better than break even, but it's just so great for our city. And I love that the whole town was on edge about a hockey game rather than a baseball game. It was kind of neat for a change. So that's all I wanted to say. I too enjoy Mike Bush and Steve Savard and
how did
Charlie
we get
Cake.
On them? This show is not about the anchors.
It is 9 o'clock hour. Is we're
a,
talk
it's
about
a sports
news
show. B,
I'm just trying
hockey
to be supportive
got a hot take
of
on
all.
Steve Schiff.
We were talking about Pat Parris transitioning from sports to news. It was a logical conversation to have. Doug.
Okay,
we had 2 minutes.
And I jaywalked.
And she jaywalked in the
it's
conversation.
It's all good.
Mm-hmm. Thank you, caller Ellen.
Bye, guys.
Bye. Thank you, Ellen.
Doug, here it is. Because I diagram the show.
All right.
It's important to me. Started with 2 minutes for tribbing, saying if you had a tough time falling asleep, Scott Warman would help you. Okay?
Right.
Then I said, oh, that Pat Parris does a great job.
Sure.
And then one of you gentlemen said, oh, he's leaving to go do news in Tucson.
Right.
And then Charlie said, you know, I don't think I could do news because I'm not serious enough, but I wasn't here when Mike Bush was doing sports, and then Carl Ellen said, hey, I'm having yogurt. And that's how we got
right.
there.
Yeah. That's kind of our show in a nutshell right there.
But like Doug, for example, do you think, and I love Doug, I think he's fantastic.
He blocked you on Twitter.
He unblocked me yesterday. I think Doug is hilarious. He's hilarious on radio. He's hilarious on TV. Although his TV persona, it's obviously dialed back a little bit from his morning after persona. But still, I think it would be tough for me to watch you deliver the hard news of the day.
Yeah, I don't
That's
think
what
I
I'm saying.
It. No, I couldn't do it.
Now, I'd say the same about me, because I'm a clown.
Isn't Rob Dazier doing news now somewhere?
Is he really?
He's a news anchor. I want to say maybe Richmond, Virginia.
I didn't know that.
Yes.
How about that?
He's a news anchor, either, you know, 5 or 10 or whatever, but he's one of the main news guys.
Yeah. Art Holliday was another sports guy who became a news news anchor. They're out there.
Stu Klytenik.
I don't know that he's anchoring anymore. Boy, he had some long arms. And he would point them right at you. He was like, it was almost like you're watching 3D TV. You know, you've seen 3D movie where the guy has a pitchfork and he puts it right at the camera and you feel like you're getting a pitchfork. This was like Stu Klytenik's arms and they would just reach right into the camera.
Yeah, I was watching a Lexington Steel film and I felt the same way about 4.5 minutes into the scene. Was that 4:40 into the scene? 4.5.
I don't know. I don't know what you're talking
Mark
about.
Mark Curtis used to be at the 2 Fox.
Oh,
now a
news anchor.
Anchor.
You got another one. Boy, you got another one there.
Yep.
You sure enough did.
St. Louis Blues.
Yeah, you got another one there,
St. Louis Blues.
Now I'm trying to think of another one to trump the one that you just came up with.
Rich Gould does that thing where he like walks around the hallway and he doesn't necessarily do sports.
You know what? Brian Feldman just went from a sports guy to a news
there
guy.
There you go.
How about that? So I guess I win this argument.
Yeah.
I'll tell you what. Rich Gould is so funny. Some of his TV live shots are so hilarious. I was watching the other day, and it was before one of these Blues games. And, you know, the report, and we have to do this in the business. You don't necessarily want to, but you have a game going on, and your newscast is going on. And he's still, hey, you have to fill the newscast. And if you're out there getting ready to do post-game, you got to do a live shot sometimes during the game. And I love the way that Rich does it, because even this last time, he did it more on the fact that he got, like, kicked out of... I think he was trying to go from Busch Stadium to Scottrade when they were playing at the same time.
Yeah.
And he was talking about how he got kicked out of the cab line, and there was a really mad female Uber driver that tried to call the cops on him. And it was just, like, it was really funny. And it had nothing to do with the game, but it was so much more entertaining than if he would have just said, hey, it's 2-1 Blues in the second.
I don't think you necessarily need to be doing live shots about the game if the game is going on. I think you probably ought to be covering anything but the game.
I agree with you.
How about a little Popeye's chicken? That good for your golf swing?
Except for, I know you think it's crazy, but there are still people, and there's older people that don't have cable, and they really only have the network channels,
and that's all they get. That's what you can tell yourself, but are you really going to broadcast to the 0.5% or to the other people that are watching you?
Okay, so do you suggest you just don't do news?
No, I say you do lots of news and probably no sports on that event, because anyone who cares is watching that event or listening to the event. They're not looking for a 1.5-minute update from a parking lot that's while the game is going on.
But still, when you have like the highest-rated Blues game that FS Midwest had, I think it was like an 18. So even though that's a huge number, you're still talking about a relatively small percentage of the overall people watching TV. So a lot of people are watching a lot of other stuff.
Well, I understand that. No, and that's why they wouldn't necessarily want Blues live shot coverage during the game.
You want to know the score real quick. Move on to the next thing.
You can give them the score.
We got Gary Finkel waiting, and I want to talk some Mizzou hoops.
We got to have more Rich Gould. We've got to have
more. I love
more.
Rich, man. He's so funny.
Best in the business, I tell you. I interned for him. 1997, Doug. Came in wearing a tie for my first day. It's the last time I wore a tie.
He made fun of me, did he?
And he said, Junior, why are you wearing a tie? That knot's as big as my prostate. I'm like, oh, I see what this is going to be about. We're going to get along just fine.
You did a full Windsor, probably.
Probably so.
Yeah,
I mean, I'm from Old Money on Tam Avenue.
Ah, okay. I usually do the half Windsor, Tim.
Charlie, I'm 36, and I don't have cable. Biatch Network channels are my jam. That comes from Olivia.
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah, come on. You're not saying that. You just cannot convince me that while a game is going on television and on radio, that there are people who are going to tune to one of the local stations and get an update on that game, wait around to the sports hits to get an update on that
game. That's not the point. But you have people who are not hardcore sports fans. They want to watch the news, or for the most part, they want to watch the weather. They still care enough a little bit about the Cardinals and the Blues. They just want to see what's going on.
No, that may be true.
You have an hour newscast. You can do a one-minute shot.
Yeah. Well, that may be true. I'm just trying to look out for the sports guys who would rather be in there watching the game and figuring out what's going on so they know, so when they have to talk about it and do stories about it and do interviews about it, they can have seen the game.
You guys see Ray Hartman trying to figure out his phone last night. Did you see that? He was right by the Blues bench as Darren Pang was interviewing Brouwer. Tim, you should be on Donnybrook, and all the guys should be shirtless at the table. Thanks. Shrewsbury Butter Squirrel.
We're shirtless enough here, Tim. We don't need to be on Donnybrook as well.
Yeah.
Somebody on Twitter, Doug and Tim, they just took a picture of me from last night's post game where I was looking kind of dazed and confused behind Troy Brouwer during an interview scrum.
Mm-hmm.
And they put it alongside Quinn Snyder and also the guard from Shawshank Redemption, the one that shot and killed. What was the guy who was trying to get his degree, Tim, in Shawshank Redemption?
Yeah, I don't know his name, but I just watched it again a couple days ago. I watch that movie about five times a week.
But what do you think, Doug? Do we look alike? What do you think,
guys? Yeah, I'd say yeah. Uh-huh. Definitely. More like the guard than Quinn Snyder.
Right. But you have the hair. I like that hair. God, yeah. I'm jealous of your hair.
Growing it long, Doug.
It gets like curly that. In a hurry, doesn't
it's
it?
It's very Kennedy-esque, sir.
Thank you.
Man, Doug, what I wouldn't do.
You'd like Kennedy hair?
No, it'd be nice.
I'd even take Ronald Reagan hair. I mean, that was jet black in his 80s. Well, there you go again. Mr. Gorbachev, tear down this wall.
But boy, his hair, he had fabulous hair.
Charlie,
was he 85?
We'll talk about Ronald Reagan hair in the break, but we have Brian Lawton joining us at the top of the hour.
Yeah.
It's the Tease Farm, the official shrub of the Ryan Kelly Morning After, 9 o'clock hour coming your way. Send your emails in, your celebratory emails the morning after at InsideSTL.com. Friendly reminder, salt and smoke! The official brisket of the Ryan Kelly Morning After. Hit salt and smoke with this beautiful weather in the U-City Loop. We'll take a break. Brian Lawton, NHL Network analyst, a great guest. He's next on the Ryan Kelly Morning After.